Today on Telling the Truth with Stuart, Jill, and Pete Briscoe.
Friendship is elusive. If you find a friend, you've got a grace gift. Appreciate it, nurture it. But don't be exclusive, and especially women, you have to know this. Yes, of course you can and must have friends. If you have friends within the church, don't spend time in the church when you're there with your friend. Ignore them, basically. Do your friendship stuff outside, because there's nothing that can cause problems in a women's ministry, particularly, as if the leader or the pastor's wife is exclusive within the group with her friends. That's a disaster waiting to happen.
Jill Briscoe today talks about the need for friendship and how to keep those crucial relationships healthy. She begins in just a moment. But first, is there a relationship in your life that just isn't what you wish it could be? God created you for relationships with other people and with himself. When a relationship struggles, it's emotionally painful. Well, this month, when you give to support the broadcast ministry of Telling the Truth, we'll say thanks by sending you Stuart, Jill, and Pete Briscoe's six-message series, Healing Broken Relationships. It's the series you're hearing this week, a deep study into why we struggle in relationships and how to make them the best they can be. Request the series, Healing Broken Relationships, when you call with your gift today. 1-800-889-5388. 1-800-889-5388. Now here's Jill with the second part of her message, Your Need for Friendship.
People are not the enemy. Satan is the enemy. People are not the enemy. I was talking to somebody that had just been to see Narnia, and this woman, friend of mine, is in ministry. She's in missions, actually. And she said, I'm having a terrible trouble with another woman in the mission. It's just horrible. It's awful. Small group of people in an isolated place in the world. Your friends are picked for you. Your colleagues are picked for you. You don't have any choice. And you find yourself confined in this little, tiny, difficult area in a foreign culture. And then two of you fall out. Two women. You can't afford that in that situation, but it happens all the time, all over the world. And I said, well, what's the trouble? And she just began to pour out what was happening. And I just stopped her and I said, she's not the enemy. Don't you see? Because her whole language was telling me that she saw this woman as her enemy. You've got to see beyond that. Jesus said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. He didn't say, get thee behind me, Peter. Peter wasn't the enemy. Satan was the enemy. And if you're going to work in difficult situations with somebody else and seek for reconciliation and partnership, and you have to when you're closed up in ministry together, just has to be, or you're going to split things, split a church, whatever, then that's where you have to start. We're in a battle, number one. That's how it is. Number two, they are not the enemy. He is not the enemy. She is not the enemy. She said to me, actually, she said, I've just been to see Narnia. And thank you for that. That was helpful. Because you're telling me she's not the White Witch. I said, right. She's not the White Witch. And then I added the line from the bottom of that film that really struck my heart. And I said, Aslan isn't a tame lion. So she's not the White Witch. He's not a tame lion. And you're halfway to putting the thing together. So there's safety in numbers. If you've got two good friends, then add another, and you've got even more strength. The more friends you have who love Jesus, the more chance you have of winning the battle. Then there's three of you. Two back to back and one out here in case the enemy comes here, and you're standing there for each other, guarding each other's backs. I had a wonderful experience. I've got so many illustrations from our vacation in Antarctica. And one of them is my nemesis on this trip with the seals, because we're landing where nobody's ever landed before, and they take you in the Zodiacs, you get out in your swamp boots and all your gear, and you have to plodge through the ice and whatnot and make your landing, get up on the beach, and you are met with hundreds of seals at this time of year with their babies. And so they give you all the instructions of what to do. And so you pick up two stones and you clap them if they come for you. You just clap the stones and that'll be all right. So I was frantically looking for stones, which there were none on my part of the beach. So I was thinking, well, they landed us at the wrong place and I have no stones and never mind. So then you just use your hands. And I was really frightened. I want to tell you, that is an understatement. I was really, really frightened. There were elephant seals. Have you ever seen an elephant seal? How big they are, and they're great big mouths, and they're fighting, and their blood all down themselves because they're fighting to each other. But they actually are not the ones you worry about. You only worry about them if they fall on you. So you avoid being anywhere near an elephant seal. But the ones that are the most, the ones you have to watch are the fur seals and the leopard seals, but they're usually in the water. They're in the water that you have to get into to get to the beach, incidentally. So here are the fur seals, and they are aggressive, and they're the ones you have to slap your hands. And there's no way through to where we're trying to go, which is the penguins and the albatrosses and the glaciers and all of that. But through them, you have to go through them. So you're in this little zodiac. There's 10 of you, or if the weather is bad, there's 5 of you or 6 of you, depending on the weather. And that's your group. And what they're teaching you on this whole trek is team building and work together and help each other. And they said what you need to do is get on the beach and stand back to back before you start anything. Just make a circle so that you've all got your backs to each other. Then you'll figure out they're my seals. They're and they have a territory. It's quite small, but not small enough. And if you step into their territory, then they will come for you. And you, you know, just frantically. And then you can say, you deal with yours, and then they deal with theirs. And there's safety because you don't know what's behind you. And you can step back and step into one of the seals' territories. But if you're standing in a circle back to back, then you're helping each other. You can see where the enemy is coming from, okay? Well, then you get through some of them, and then you have to walk a long way along the shore before you start and climb up the tussock grass, where the seals are all in there with their babies anyway, but you get hold of the tussock and you pull yourself up this, whatever it is, on the way to see the million penguins, which is what you've gone to see, who unfortunately are the other side of the range. And so you're climbing up here and meeting seals at very close quarters, which was absolutely terrifying. And I noticed something. On a stretch of beach that was going up like this before we started climbing, our group was walking along together. And you find out a lot about yourself. And I decided I was going to put myself in the middle of the group so they get eaten first. How Christian is that? I didn't care about how Christian it was. Just wanted to be in the middle. But then I noticed something. Everybody else wanted to be in the middle too. So we're all sort of, I mean, we're getting nowhere because we're all positioning ourselves in the middle of the group. Well, that night, every night we have a recap by our experts who are training us in all of this stuff. And the question was, can I ask a question? As we observed all the groups today, who was trying to get in the middle of the group? And we all roared laughing because all of us were. And he said, I'll tell you a better way, stand back to back. And that's where that came from. That instead of trying self-preservation of getting yourself in the safest place, everybody take their part in watching from the enemy in all different directions. It's a great spiritual parallel for me. And if you've got a prayer group, stand back to back. You're all looking at different aspects that need praying for. You're not all praying for the same thing. You're saying this old thing over here is an elephant seal, and this old thing here is a leopard seal, and this old thing here is whatever it is. And then you can shout, look out, you know, it's coming. And everybody goes, you know, together, back to back. Cord of three stands is not quickly torn apart.
This is Telling the Truth with Stuart, Jill, and Pete Briscoe. Today, Jill talks about the need for friendships. Ahead, she offers biblical counsel about building up friendships even within your own family. A relationship, not a religion, an abundant life in Christ. That's what Christianity is really all about. At Telling the Truth, we want you to experience true abundant life in Christ. When you visit tellingthetruth.org, you can listen to messages, read articles, download our app for your smartphone, link to our Facebook and Twitter pages, and sign up for Pete, Stuart, or Jill's free daily email devotions. It's all to help you know Christ more intimately and the abundant life he offers. Visit today, tellingthetruth.org. Now, let's return for more from Jill Briscoe.
I'd like to say one or two things about not being exclusive in your friendships. Friendship is elusive. If you find a friend, you've got a grace gift. Appreciate it, nurture it. But don't be exclusive, and especially women, you have to know this. Yes, of course you can and must have friends. If you have friends within the church, don't spend time in the church when you're there with your friend. Ignore them, basically. Do your friendship stuff outside, because there's nothing that can cause problems in a women's ministry, particularly, as if the leader or the pastor's wife is exclusive within the group with her friends. That's a disaster waiting to happen. And so that's one lesson I've learned in ministry, in women's ministry over the years. I have wonderful friends all in leadership of that ministry. But when we are doing women's ministry in our church building, you wouldn't even know that we knew each other very well, because we are being inclusive. We are bringing other people into our friendships, and that is very, very important. Do not be exclusive. Be inclusive. Be inclusive. And let the women know, you're welcome in my heart. You're welcome. Come in. And that will save you a whole lot of trouble. And you say, but where do I find a friend? I need a friend. I need a Jonathan. I don't think I need a Nathan, but I know I need one. And I need this, and I need that, and I need another. Where do I find them? Be one. How do you find a friend? Be a friend. That's how you find them. And as you befriend someone else, it comes back. The comeback comes. And the people who find it hardest in friendship is when it's all about them. Me. It's what I need from you. But you start and be a friend to someone, and then you'll find that person will come back and bless you. So where do you find them? Where do you find these friends? Well, I've talked about ministry. Do they have to be a peer? How much do you have in common with someone? Sometimes that helps if you have something in common. It doesn't have to be. Naomi and Ruth were different cultures, but they became very close friends. You know, Ruth's name means friendship. Did you know that? Godly friendship. And she was living with a very bitter woman called Naomi. My daughter and I wrote a book about that and about their relationship, Space to Breathe and Room to Grow. And it was Ruth's godly, loving friendship that transformed a bitter woman into a better woman, Naomi. It was her friendship. And if you want to know what friendship looks like, study the first chapter of the book of Ruth and list the things that Ruth said to her mother, mother-in-law, on the way to Bethlehem. And you'll learn a lot about friendship. So do they have to be the same culture? Do they have to be the same color? Do they have to be the same creed? Do they have to be the same denomination? No. Do they have to be a believer? There's a different sort of friendship. I think many of my friends weren't believers when I became a friend, and I was able to introduce them to my friend, and now they're good friends. You know what I mean. But I don't think Christians today know how to be a friend to unbelievers. And I think that's one of the problems our churches aren't growing. We don't know how to be a true friend, not just for their scalp's sake, their spiritual scalp's sake. I'm befriending this person to, but just to love them for their own sake and to be willing to make that friendship happen. I try to be doing that. I don't do as well now because I'm never here to do it. But I've tried to do that all along, to have at least one person I am working, and it is hard work, to be a friend with, because the things they're interested in, I'm not. You have to find something you can do together, to walk or to play tennis or to, you know, whatever. But find something in common with a non-believer. But I'm basically talking here about believers. Can they be in family? Can you be a friend? I've heard two or three people say, you cannot be a friend if you're a parent with your teenage children. I think that's nonsense. I think it's absolute nonsense. I was sitting in a seminar last month, and the expert said, stop being a friend and be a parent. And I had a long talk with him afterwards. And I believe you can be a parent and a friend. You can be a parental friend. You can be a friend. In fact, I think it's essential you're a friend when you have teenagers. And it's not easy, especially 12 to 15, you know, the horror years. Because you have to forgive them for being 13, and then 14, and then 15. And they have to forgive you for being 45 or 30, whatever you are. And there's a lot of forgiving. Of course, friendship is made up of two good forgivers. That's what friendship is. And don't listen to people that say you can't be a friend. Whatever that looks like, it'll be looking different for each one of you. But just pray, God, show me. Because the elements of friendship are what's going to keep you sane and her in your life and in your orbit. It's going to be incredible. And I did terrible things to my daughter. My daughter reminded me the other day, Mother, do you remember me going to the first dance? And Christians don't dance even in Europe, so this was a cultural thing for me to allow my child to go to the school dance. But I got over that and threw myself into it, and I said, well, let's go and buy a dress. So we get to Brookfield Square, and the fashions at that point were skimpy. They were sort of full circle at the moment, I think, but they were very skimpy. And I wanted more material. I can't even bring myself to tell you what I did. I took her to the maternity shop. Yes. Because the first size is no different. There's just more material, right? And really pretty. And I bought her a dress. There is a lot of forgiving still to be done. On her part, not mine. So can they be family? Of course. Hopefully, yes, yes, yes. Grow your friendship with your husband. Grow your friendship with your children. Grow your friendship with your grandchildren as best you can. Jesus said, just love each other. It's very simple. There's a fable about John, the apostle, that when he was very old, in his 90s or whatever, he didn't die in exile. They brought him back as a very, very old man off Patmos, and he died in Ephesus, they believe. And in his very ancient days, they carry him in on a pallet to the local church. And, oh, where's John? He's coming. And they'd lay him down there. And then after the service and everything had happened, they'd say, do you say a word to the people? John, do you say a word to the people? And he'd always say the same thing. Love one another. They'd say, do you have nothing else to say? And he said, what else is there to say? This is the Son of Thunder, remember. What else is there to say? Just love each other. Jesus looked at his 12 men, his best friends, and he said, love each other, guys. My heart. Read John 17. He spends most of it talking about unity and love. Just love each other, guys. That'll make me happy. Make me happy. And so, if you're going to have a friend, two are better than one, or all of that, won't be overpowered. Don't be exclusive, be inclusive, all of that. And then I just say two practical things. Have you ever told your friends that you appreciate them? I want you to think about doing that, either verbally or in a little note or buy a book or a tape put a little note in it and say, this is what I do. I was touched by somebody that came and said, our women's ministry sent us and we want to buy them each a gift as a thank you for being our friends to send them here to this conference. But I don't need to give you ideas. American women are marvelous at practical ways of thanking each other and being creative and all of that.
Joel Briscoe on today's Telling the Truth, talking about the value of and need for friendships. In just a moment, she returns to answer questions about the difference a friendship can make and those relationships with non-believers. But first, at Telling the Truth, we love the encouragement you send through your letters, emails, and Facebook posts, letting us know how God is using the ministry of the Briscoes in your life. John posted on Facebook, your program is one of the truly useful contemporary Christian radio programs I hear. Thank you for your faithful, inspiring work. As a rule, the three of you go deep, just deep enough to have wide and useful appeal to many. When you give to Telling the Truth, you invest into the lives of others. This month, to thank you for your investment, we want to send you an important series from all three Briscoes called Healing Broken Relationships. We're all created for relationships, but when a relationship isn't healthy or is broken, it leaves a hole and brings pain. In the 6-CD collection, Stuart, Jill, and Pete show you that you don't have to settle for unhealthy relationships. You can have healing and make them the best they can be. It's the series you're hearing this week. Call today with your donation of any amount and request Healing Broken Relationships. 1-800-889-5388. 1-800-889-5388. Now here's Jill to further explore some ideas from today's message. Jill, how can we make a difference in someone's life by offering friendship?
Think back to your experience. Who would be the best friend you've ever had? Not perfect friend. I didn't say perfect friend. I said who would be the best friend you've ever had. And just for a moment, sit back and think why. Why was that friend a good friend? Not only a good friend in her friendship to me, but good for me. Because often our best friend are people that are bad for us. And yet they're loyal to us as they take us down. And so I'm not talking about somebody loyal, somebody that anything I do is right. They're such a good friend. They just stick with me, whatever I'm doing. No, a good friend challenges us. A good friend helps us to change where we need to change. A good friend affirms us, and we should do the same for them. Iron sharpens iron, it says in the good book. And it's talking about friendship, that verse I've just quoted. And so we need a truthful friend. We need an honest friend. That's good friendship.
Jill, it's important to have friendships with other believers, but is developing friendships with non-believers something we should also pursue?
Well, if somebody hadn't reached out and been a friend, I wouldn't be talking to you today. It was a girl in hospital in the next bed to me, a stranger, total stranger, who reached across the hospital aisle, if you wish, got hold of my hand in the next bed and said, I'm Janet Smith. I'm so sorry to see you in here in trouble. And I'm in trouble too, and we'll talk. That was it. And with that began a friendship that eventually led me to Christ. And so is it important? Of course it's important. For me, it was eternally important. It was because Janet Smith first made me her friend and then introduced me to her friend, Jesus. And so this should be a lifetime habit outside of church, in our families, in our communities, everywhere we go. We should be offering that sort of friendship to people.
Thanks, Jill. It's hard to say you're living well and abundantly when your relationships struggle. I'm sure you know the pain of a broken relationship, a superficial friendship, or of loneliness. God created you for relationships, both with himself and others. So where are we going wrong? In their 6-CD series, Healing Broken Relationships, Stuart, Jill, and Pete break down why people struggle with relationships and why you don't have to settle. They'll show you how to make your relationships everything they should be. This special series that you're hearing this week is our way of saying thanks this month for your donation to help keep telling the truth on this station. So call 1-800-889-5388 and request the series Healing Broken Relationships today. 1-800-889-5388. Next time, Stuart Briscoe kicks off a new series about the very words of Jesus. He was the greatest teacher who ever lived. And in this new series, Stuart deeply explores the parables of Jesus and what he had to say about issues affecting us right now. That's Friday on Telling the Truth.